वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अस्मै नृपाला किल तत्र तत्र अस्मै नृपाला किल तत्र तत्र बलिं हरिष्यन्ति सलोकपालाः बलिं हरिष्यन्ति सलोकपालाः मंस्यन्तैषां श्रियादिराजम् मंस्यन्तैषां श्रियादिराजम् चक्रायुधं तद्यश उद्धरन्त्यः चक्रायुधं तद्यश उद्धरन्त्यः अस्मै नृपाला किल तत्र तत्र बलिं हरिष्यन्ति सलोकपालाः मंस्यन्तैषां श्रियादिराजम् चक्रायुधं तद्यश उद्धरन्त्यः अस्मै नृपालाः किल तत्र तत्र बलिं हरिष्यन्ति सलोकपालाः मंस्यन्तैषां श्रियादिराजम् चक्रायुधं तद्यश उद्धरन्त्यः अस्मै नृपाला किल तत्र तत्र बलिं हरिष्यन्ति सलोकपाला मंस्यन्तैषां श्रियादिराजम् चक्रायुधं तन्यश उद्धरन्त्यः अस्मै नृपाला किल तत्र तत्र बलिं हरिष्यन्ति सलोकपालाः मंस्यन्तैषां श्रियादिराजम् चक्रायुधं तद्यश उद्धरन्त्यः अस्मै नृपाला किल तत्र तत्र बलिं हरिष्यन्ति सलोकपालाः मंस्यन्तैषां श्रियादिराजम् चक्रायुधं तन्यश उद्धरन्त्यः अस्मै नृपाला किल तत्र तत्र बलिं हरिष्यन्ति सलोकपालाः मंस्यन्तैषां श्रियादिराजम् चक्रायुधं तन्यश उद्धरन्त्यः Word by word, Asmai, unto him, Nripala. All the kings. Kila. Certainly. Tatra tatra. Here and there. Balin. Presentations. Harishanti. Will offer. San. With. Lokapalaha. The demigods. Mansyante. Will consider. Isham. Of these kings. Striyaha. Wives. Adirajam. The original king. Chakra Ayudham. Bearing the disc weapon. Tat. His. Yashaham. Reputation. Udharantyaham. Carrying on. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When the king travels all over the world, other kings as well as the demigods will offer him all kinds of presentations. Their queens will also consider him the original king, who carries in his hands the emblem of club and disc, and will sing of his fame, for he will be as reputable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. So, just the context first. The professional reciters, they are predicting the activities of King Prithu in the future. So, they are saying now this shloka. Please repeat. When the king travels all over the world, other kings, as well as the demigods, will offer him all kinds of presentations. Their queens will also consider him the original king, who carries in his hands the emblems of club and disc, and will sing of his fame, for he will be as reputable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. As far as reputation is concerned, King Prithu is already known as the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Adirajan means the original king. The original king is Narayana or Lord Vishnu. People do not know that the original king or Narayana is actually the protector of all living entities. As confirmed in the Vedas, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is maintaining all living entities. The king or Naradev is his representative. As such, the king's duty is to personally supervise the distribution of wealth for the maintenance of all living entities. If he does so, he will be as reputable as Narayana. As mentioned in this verse, Tad Yashaha, Prithu Maharaj was actually carrying with him the reputation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he was actually reigning over the world in that capacity. Omagyana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurumilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So the word king is Nripala in this verse. And the word demigod is Lokapala. So what is in common between these two words? No? Demigods, kings. The word Pala is there. And we all know Gopala, Lokapala, Nripa. They all means what? Protector. So one who can protect his citizens, he's a king. One who can protect
at the different planets, Lokapala, they are demigods. One who can protect even the demigods in all the planetary system, who is Sarva Loka Maheshwaran, that is Krishna. So Krishna is the original protector of everyone. He is Sarva Loka Maheshwaran. He is the one who is the lord of all the planets, of all the demigods, all living entities. He is the lord of everyone because he can protect everyone. And Prabhupada gives the quote here. Eko bahunam yovidadhati kaman. He is the one who is capable of supplying the needs of everyone else. So he is God because he is capable of maintaining everyone. He is capable of protecting everyone. That's why he is God. So I cannot protect everyone, so I cannot claim to be God. Usually everybody wants to be king, everybody wants to be controller, Maheshwara, and to have everybody following and being submissive to him. But nobody wants to protect, to give shelter, to take care of others. So, but the responsibility is connected to position. So the higher the position, the more responsibility we have for protecting those under our care. And you cannot separate these two things, no? Everybody is supposed to surrender to Krishna. But why? What is Krishna's qualification that makes him the worthy object of surrender for all living entities? He is from one side, Sarva Loka Maheshwaran. He's the controller, the lord of all the worlds, all the demigods and all the people. But he's also Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. That means he's the well-wishing friend of everyone. Nobody is more concerned about everybody else than Krishna. He's all the time concerned with the well-being of all the living entities. He's always protecting them. He's always maintaining them. And we cannot exist without his maintenance. So being the topmost position means to be also in the topmost responsible position, that you have to take care of everybody else. And only if the person has these two qualities, then he can represent Krishna. So Prithu Maharaj, he's actually acting in that capacity because he is providing protection, maintenance for everyone. He's not only demanding. His father, King Vena, he was claiming to be the Supreme Lord. He was saying, all demigods, they live in my body because I am the king. But that was only artificially. He was claiming that. But actually, he's not acting in that capacity because he's not being the Nripa. Nripa means protector of the people. So if one is protecting, then automatically people will surrender. Automatically people will serve. People will take shelter. But you cannot demand people to take shelter, to accept your authority, if you cannot give them protection. So you cannot separate these two things. There are so many individuals, but Eko Bahunam Yovidadati Kaman. There's only one who is capable of supplying the needs of everybody else. And other leaders, like kings, like teachers, parents, or anyone, they are representatives of that original king or the original lord, because they also take a share in that responsibility. No? That's their position. They are taking a share of responsibility, that therefore they can be called father, mother, teacher, any kind of position in the material world. So these two things, they come together. No? Responsibility for protecting. Chakrayudam, so he's carrying the disc. So that's another symptom. Now the disc is utilized by the Lord to protect his devotees from danger. So now let's try to see in practical life, know how this principle can be applied. In this shloka, we're speaking about a king. And why he's such a great king? Because he's actually able to give that protection. Now, it's not only the kings that have that position, but anyone in the material world, practically speaking, has some quota of responsibility. No? Unless you are a small baby, everybody else has some quota of responsibility. If I have a son, then I have to take care of my son. If I have a wife, I have to take care of my wife. If I have disciples, the guru has to take care of the disciples. If you have even a gurukul boy, no? Usually the bigger boys that take care of the smaller boys. So everybody, except the babies, everybody has some part of responsibility. And therefore they have some position. So the more you are ready to give support to others, then the more you can take position. But we don't need to demand others to respect us or to be submissive or anything like that, because it comes automatically if we are doing our part. So for example, so many people in the world, they follow Jesus Christ. Why they follow him? Why? Because he's so great? He was such a great scholar, or he was very rich or very powerful or something like that? No. He was not rich, he was not a great scholar or anything, but he was ready to sacrifice his own life for the well-being of other people. So when people see this person, he gave his own life, he agreed to be crucified for our sake, so that we could have the chance to understand spiritual life, to take to spiritual life. So then people surrender, because they see he gave his life first. We have Srila Prabhupada as our greatest example. So why did we take shelter of Prabhupada? Is it because Prabhupada is the greatest scholar, or because Prabhupada was so powerful and so rich, or this or that, or because he was the acharya of a great institution? Why is it that we take shelter? What makes us ready to give our lives, to sacrifice so much? Now, everybody here is sacrificing their lives in so many different ways for Prabhupada's mission. But what makes us feel inclined to sacrifice ourselves? What is the quality Prabhupada has? It's not his scholarship. It's not because he could make nice kachoris. It's not because he would play nice harmonium or play mridanga or anything. It's not because the person is so great that someone wants to take shelter. Of course, that aspect is also there. The person has to be qualified. That's one aspect. But the other aspect is the Suhridan Sarva Bhutanam. One has to be a well-wishing friend of everybody else. So, and because we see that Prabhupada, he was giving his life. From the beginning, he was ready to do any sacrifice. He was ready to take any risk for his disciples. So, first he left India. He was in Vrindavana, he could be comfortably there making his bhajan, but no, he left everything to go to the West. So that's the first symptom of a person who is ready to sacrifice. Then in the West he had to go through so much trouble. In the beginning nobody's eager to serve him. He's the one who has to cook, he's the one who has to serve the prasadam, he's the one who has to clean after prasadam, he's the one who has to arrange for everything. Everybody else is just seeing the opportunity to take some advantage of that situation. And Prabhupada, for a long time, constantly and consistently, he is sacrificing himself. So when the devotees, they realize that, then they started surrendering. Because they see, this person has no personal motive, no selfish interest. He's only trying to do good for us. So usually in the material world, everybody is trying to exploit each other. But then suddenly you find a person who is not trying to exploit you, but is trying to help you, and he's ready to go to any extent to help you. So that person, you feel like surrendering. Now, even if someone is very intelligent and knows so much philosophy and can convince you philosophically, still that's not enough for surrendering. Because only when you see this person cares about me, this person is ready to sacrifice for me, Then you surrender. So usually a good preacher is not one who knows the philosophy more than anybody else, but is one who actually is ready to give his life, who actually cares for those people to whom he's trying to preach. So people can feel that, no? And you see, sometimes people, a person who is in the authority position, tries to get people to follow him. But if there is no concern with the well-being of others, then there is no success. On the other hand, you see when there is a successful program, you know, what happens? You can see that the leader of that project, he's concerned about everybody else. he is actually thinking about the individual welfare. You look temples like Chaupati, the devotees, they are taking care. So they feel protected, they feel that they are important, they feel that there is a concern for their spiritual advancement, their training, their education, and then they stay and they grow and they give their lives for that project. And these days we are listening to that Prabhupada's, not movie, it's like a Prabhupada's disciple speaking about Prabhupada remembrances. So then Malati Mataji was telling one story. She was saying that she used to cook for Srila Prabhupada here in Mayapur. And it was very difficult because there's no facility, no? There's only like few buckets, and she had to go far away to get water and bring the water back for washing, for cooking, everything. Then she had to go all the way to Navadvip, and she had very short money. They would give just enough money for an Indian person to take the rickshaw and to pay the boat, but they wanted to get more from her because she's white skin. So she had to fight so much just to get the rickshaw at the Indian price, and then get the boat at the Indian price, and then buy the savji at Indian price, and come back and cook. And at the same time, she has a small child to take care. And then she would come to Prabhupada, and every day Prabhupada would say, oh, today is too little salt, or too much salt, or this problem, that problem. And devotees would complain that why she's a Mataji, why she's cooking for Prabhupada, none should be a man, not a woman. So she was tired of that, and she was thinking, why am I going through all so much trouble? I'm going to go to Prabhupada and tell him, better you find another cook. No, everybody's complaining, it's so difficult for me, find another cook, then everybody will be happy. No? But then when she came to complain, then Prabhupada, he already had the menu. He said, look, I want you to cook this and this and this and this and this for tomorrow, and my God brothers are all coming for prasadam. So she couldn't say no, because Prabhupada already is expecting that I want you to cook for me, I want you to do this and this and this and this, and all my God brothers are coming. So she went and she cooked, and she was so shy to come, you know, in front of so many big sannyasis with dandas and sitting there, and they're all Indians, and what they're going to think, you know, this Mataji cooking for a sannyasi and serving. So she covered herself completely with the sari, only the hands are sticking out, and she's crawling inside the room and putting the plates and crawling out of the room. And then when she's walking, like crawling out of the room, Prabhupada said to his god brothers, this Mataji, she cooks for me every day. And every day I criticize her. I say it's not good, there's not enough salt, there is too much salt, this and that. But still she cooks for me. And even though she's a woman, she's serving me. But this woman, she's ready to cut her throat for me. And I would cut my throat for her. So then she started crying, she went away. No? So then she understood, no? Prabhupada is sometimes, Prabhupada was chastising her. But why? Just to make her engage even with more carefully in her service. And Prabhupada was saying that he was ready to die for her, for his disciple. And he also knew that that disciple was ready to sacrifice anything for him. So that means loving exchange. You're ready to give your life. So this is a real leader. This is a person who is worthy to take shelter of. He's a real representative of Krishna because he's the greatest well-wishing friend, Suhrid. Hrid means heart, Suhrid means one who is very close to the heart. So when you find a person like that, no, then you feel like surrendering. Unfortunately, that requires a lot of spiritual advancement. No? Not everybody can be like that. So often in East we have hard time. No? I remember when I was a bhakta and I joined the temple, and it was a small temple. It was actually a farm community. And only a few devotees live there. There is so much work to do. So because there is too much work and there is a mission, there is a project to develop. So the tendency is that the leader is too much concerned about the project and too little concerned about the bhaktas who are joining. So the first thing that I was shocked is that after a few months I noticed that many bhaktas would join. Every month would have one or two people joining, but then the way they come they would go, they would not stay. And like the first person that I saw leaving the temple, one boy came and he joined, and then he was very enthusiastic in the beginning, he wants to learn everything, but he's only working, and he's getting no training, because at that time we would have Bhagavatam class once a week, because only the sannyasi would come once a week and give class, otherwise the rest of the week he was preaching in the city. In the weekend he would come to the farm, you know? So in the farm he would get class once a week. And we had no spiritual program, like nothing, just you wake up, I would go milk the cows, and then I would go to the garden, collect some sausages and fruits, and make breakfast, and then clean, and then whole day busy, and then night time there is no time to read, because it's dark, there's no electricity, and so, like, very, practically no training, only working, and nobody cares about you, and you join, and so after some time, that boy who came, he left. But like in that short time, I was becoming his friend, no? So when he left, I felt very sad. And I came to ask the temple president, what happened? Why he's leaving? And he didn't come and say, okay, I'm sorry, I want to go back home. He just disappeared. One day, he was not there in the morning. And then, first thing, the devotee was there, he said, oh, look his locker. So I went there. I said, it's empty. He said, okay, so he left. I said, what mean? No, he left. It's always like that. They come, and they simply, one day they leave, if the locker is empty, means they're not going to come back. So then I thought, but why, no? And I was trying to think, why is that, should it be like that, no? Something is wrong, no? Why someone would come, and stay for some time, and make friendship, he doesn't even say goodbye, no? I'm going back home, okay. Bye. No, just disappear. And like him, many others came. And they disappear in the same way. One day, they feel so depressed, nobody's taking care of me, nobody gives me any attention, they just disappear. Why is that? It's so impersonal, no? So then, after some time I understood, because I also started feeling weak. I was feeling very weak, and no classes. Then I wanted to read by my own. So when I wanted to read, then I said, but it's so difficult to read. And I asked, one day we cut a tree, because we had to construct make some construction, and everything was made with wood and stones, local materials. So they asked me to make some doors and windows, and so we cut on big tree, and there are some extra wood. So I asked permission, can I make a table and a chair so that I can sit and read sometimes? And then the devotee asked me, why do you want to read? If making a chair and a table will make you read more, then I don't want you to read. I don't want any table, because I want you to work, not to read. You already have the Maharaj to preach, and you just have to work. So then I felt very sad, no? That I'm not supposed to study, I'm not supposed to do anything. Then after some time, one friend of mine came and invited me to go and preach in a program. He wanted to organize a program, so I came and asked permission to go and preach. He said, no, the preacher is Maharaj, you just have to clean the goshala and plant. And then I was really feeling sad. So one day I came and asked, can I go? No, I don't want to stay, I want to go back home, I don't know, I'm so discouraged and I don't know what's wrong, but I just feel so sad, I don't feel like staying. So then he said, okay, he was thinking for some time, so I was expecting, I was going to ask, how is going your sadhana, no, what's your problem, no, how are you feeling? But the answer was, after some time, no, he said, oh, you know, we have a big festival coming up, so we need help because we need, so many people are coming, so we need cleaning and cooking and this and that. So after the festival you go. Then I felt even more sad because I understood, okay, it's only about the service, no? If I can do some service, okay. If I am happy or sad, if I'm studying or not, if my sadhana is good or bad, doesn't matter. I'm just, whatever I can give, like as cheap labor or free labor, then I give. And when I go away, then you get another bhakti will come and will replace me. So I felt really sad. And eventually I left and came to India. And luckily I met many devotees who were very encouraging also in ISKCON. So the thing is that it's not something personal. Everyone needs care and needs protection, needs attention. Even vegetables, even plants, no? If you give attention to a little plant, the plant grows very nicely. But if you don't give any attention, the plant just dries up and dies. So every living entity is hankering for attention, is hankering for care, is hankering for someone who is not very powerful and not is not so much about being powerful and qualified and know so much, but is about being a well-wishing friend. So we can see in every sphere of activities, guru and disciple, husband and wife, everywhere we can see that same dynamic is there. No? Sometimes the guru or the so-called person who is in a superior position because he knows more, then because he knows more, he doesn't want his disciples or the people under him to study. Why? Because if they study, then it's more difficult to control them. If you know everything and you make everything very mysterious, you don't give the knowledge, you just show that you have some knowledge, but just enough for them to acknowledge that you have knowledge, but not enough for them to become knowledgeable themselves. No? And you don't let them study, you don't encourage them to learn. Why? Because if they become knowledgeable, then it becomes more difficult to control them. But that's not a real guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that a real guru is not one who makes many disciples. A real guru is one who is able to make other gurus. That's a real guru. So he's going to qualify other people to also become gurus. Because he's not afraid that, oh, if they know as much as I know, then they're going to leave me. No, because not only about knowing, it's about caring. And if you are caring, then they will always be surrendered to you. Also, sometimes the husband, he wants to demand from the wife, not that you have to serve me, or you have to be submissive, you have to do this, you have to do that, no? It's your position, I'm so kind to you that I am engaging you in my service. But the wife will never feel encouraged to serve a husband like that. But if she sees that my husband, he cares about me, if I am in difficulty, he's going to protect me. If I am, he's going to give me support psychologically, emotionally, physically, in any way. Then naturally she's going to be inclined to serve. You don't have to ask, you don't have to demand, to say, to remind her, look, this is your duty, you're the wife, you have to do this and this and this. No, you become a real well-wisher. And automatically she'll feel like, no, I want to take care of my husband, I want to serve because I see that he's my real friend. And okay, being Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam is very easy, no? The enjoyer. It's very easy. So boy and girl, they come together, they want to enjoy together. It's very, very easy. But then when the test comes, when some difficult moment comes, no? Someone gets sick, or there is some psychological crisis and the wife is like in depression, or there is some economical difficulty, or there is anything, any test, no? Then is the real test. Okay, the Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam test, okay, you did very nicely. You can enjoy very nicely with your wife, with your girlfriend. So, Sarvaloka Maheshwaran also, to be the Lord, to demand service is also very easy. But to be Suhridan Sarva Bhutanam, if you can actually be a well-wishing friend, then everything else will fall into place. So, another thing that is interesting is that the person who is in the leading position or in the authority position, that person is actually the one who is going to make all the adjustments. Who is going to in the difficult moment, he's the one who is going to sacrifice and to do all the adjustments which are required for the well-being of the other one. For example, the mother and the child. We think, oh, the mother is in charge. The mother is the authority, right? The small child is there and the mother is there. So who is the authority? Of course, the mother is the authority. She's the one controlling, right? She's the one who is, she's in charge. Because the small child knows nothing, is fully dependent. So that means when the mother says, okay, now you eat, then the child eats. Now you sleep, the child sleeps. Now you wake up, the child wakes up. Now you eat, now you play. Yeah, so that's how it works. The mother, because she's in control, so she tells everything that should happen. Is it like that? The mothers are smiling, no? So it's not actually like that, no? It's not that the mother, because she's in a higher position, then she gives the rules. No, because she's in a higher position, that means she has to adjust to the child, right? The child is hungry, she has to run and make something to eat. The child is tired, she has to to carrying the lap because she's not going to walk anymore. She has to carry the child. The child is going to sleep in her lap. The child wants to play. Then she cannot actually, because she's in a superior position, then she has the burden of responsibility to take care of the child. So maybe in the philosophical analysis, you can say, okay, the mother is in charge and the child is subordinate. But when you speak about rasa, the emotional, the psychological dealings, actually the mother is more depending on the child all the time. And it's also like that, no? The guru and the disciple. Oh, the guru is in charge. The guru is giving the order, the disciple is following the order. But actually, you look at any guru, look at Prabhupada. And sometimes the disciple, they are not following. They are doing all these kind of stupid things. Prabhupada, he has to adjust to somehow find a way to bring the disciple. He doesn't come down because he's always in a transcendental position, but he has to somehow, apparently he comes down to bring the disciple up from the point he is. It's not that he's, no, I am in a transcendental level, I am a Vishuddha Sattva, so I'm not going to deal with these Tamoguna people. No, he has to come down to the Tamoguna people. He doesn't get contaminated by Tamoguna, but he comes to their level and gradually he finds ways to bring them up. So the husband sees the wife. Maybe the wife is not naturally very submissive and very paka, very the ideal wife the way he would like her to be. But he has to come down and gradually try to find the ways that how can I inspire my wife to be a good devotee, to be a good mother, to be a good wife, to perform her duties nicely. So actually the person who is in the higher position has the higher responsibility and has to find the means to help the other one. So it's very, in the tattva consideration, okay, the authority, he's in charge. In the rasa consideration, actually, the person who is under, she's in charge. And is actually, according to her situation, the authority has to make the adjustment. It's very tricky, you know, it's very subtle things. But anyway, so this is the point. Prithu Maharaj is actually acting in that capacity, so that therefore all the kings, all the demigods, the wives of the kings, all of them, they all acknowledge him, they all accept his authority, and they all surrender to him. Okay? So I'll stop here. If anyone has any comments or questions, realizations on these topics. Yes, Yashodhara Prabhu.
Thank you, Guru Sevana. Very nice.
Haribol.
Just a question about when you come as a young or innocent devotee, a new devotee, then how to protect oneself from sometimes leadership we see, and with experience over years, you know, we see leadership which has motivation, you know, Kama Mishra Bhakti might be there, or Jnana Mishra Bhakti, different leaders in different roles. How does one protect oneself when you're young and you just come into the movement? What is the protection?
How the bhakta protects himself?
How the new devotee coming into the association finds himself under the right leadership and management when you're in a submissive role, or when you're in the new role, the neophyte role, how does Krishna protect one?
Yeah, okay, so actually Krishna protects. Krishna the one who protects. No, that's because I could not understand what's going on. I was just feeling sad. I was seeing the devotees not staying. In the 2.5 years I stayed, I saw many coming and going. And then I could not understand why, but something was there. So why they're not surrendering? What's the difficulty to surrender? So, and I myself was having a hard time. So one day what I did, I came to Tulasi Devi and I said, please, no? Because I had so many tulasi plants. I had a big area, no? Big farm. So I started planting so many tulasi. I had hundreds of tulasi. And then one day I came and I offered base to tulasi and I said, I really want to go to India. I really want to study Bhagavad Gita in Bhagavatam. And I don't know what to do, but I really want to go to India. Kripa Kori Koro Tare Vrindavanabhasa. So if you want, please help me to go to India. And then the next day, one lady came. She was 70 years old, and she wanted to go to India, to come to India. She had never been in India. She was a bhakti. So at 70 years old, she wanted to join the temple. She gave up everything. She sold her apartment. And then when she came to the temple and said, I want to live in the temple. But in the city where she lived, they said, no, here only brahmacharis stay. You cannot live in the temple. So she was very disappointed because somehow she was very precipitated. She very like quickly sold everything and came. And then they said, no, you cannot stay here. So they said, we're going to leave to take you to another place in a farm where you can stay. So then they're going to a farm. But there are two farms nearby, no? So on the way, I think in the time I was praying to Tulsi Devi, no? They're on the way to taking that Mataji to the farm, no? Then the devotee driving, he said, actually, I think that's not the best place. Let's go to the other farm. And he came back and took another road and went to my farm. Then this Mataji came and the devotee said, look, this Mataji is 70 years old. She wants to go to India, but she cannot go alone. She cannot speak English. She cannot go alone. She never left Brazil. So she wants to stay in a temple for some time to be trained as a bhakti. And then when someone is going to India, then she'll pay the ticket and someone who can speak English and wants to go to India can go with her and help her to stay there. So then I said, oh, I speak English. And then she said, oh, would you go to India? I said, yes. Would you stay in India for a few months? I said, yes. Would you help me to find a place to stay? And they said, okay, so let's go. Then in a few weeks, like, got visa and everything and came to India. So I came first to Mayapur. She took initiation from Jayapataka Maharaj. And then we went to Vrindavan. And she said, I want to live in Vrindavan my whole life. So we got a place for her to stay. And got her, I taught her how to go to Loy Bazaar, how to go to the doctor, how to go to the bank, this and that. And I stayed there doing Bhakti Vaibhava for a few years. And when I left, she continued there until a couple of years ago she left her body. You know? So Krishna arranges. We don't know how, but we take shelter of Krishna and Krishna can protect. You know?
I was thinking at the point Prabhupada said, actually, our sincerity, Krishna is the closest thing. He always talks about the super soul. In Bhagavad Gita, so many times the super soul. So our sincerity actually is what dictates.
Yeah.
If our ego is, if we're looking to be cheated, then we'll be cheated.
Yeah.
If our desire is for genuine and our sincerity is genuine, then we get genuine leadership.
Yeah. Yeah, the more Krishna puts us through so many tests, no? And probably I was going through my tests. Because the devotee is actually a good devotee. He has many good qualities, no? The devotee was my authority. And I still have a good relationship with him. But in that moment, Krishna made me go through so many tests. Maybe to see if I am serious, no? To see my determination, if I'm ready to sacrifice, no? And I didn't like planting. My inclination was to study, no? And for 2.5 years, I couldn't read anything, I couldn't study anything. I was only planting banana trees. No, I planted thousands of banana trees and other trees and plants and sabjis and beans and all kinds of things, no? And not only planting, then you have to keep them, you have to harvest them. And I had 40 cows to take care of, and it was very, very intense. But the kind of work I don't like to do, so it was a kind of test, no? That are you ready to do even something that you don't like? And then after the test is finished, then Krishna gave facility to study Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava. It was really nice. Krishna gave not only the ticket, Krishna gave a place to stay. In Vrindavana when I arrived, okay, that Mataji helped me in the first month, but then I shouldn't maintain me for a long time. So then I was thinking, how can I stay here? And then I went inside the temple and I met Adipurush Prabhu. And he said, oh, we're going to have a course, no? A Bhakti Shastri course, and then, do you want to stay? I said, yes, I'd like to stay, but you have to pay this much. I said, I don't have money. I said, anyway, you stay and do the course. Later on, you pay if you can. No, you're brahmachari. You can do the course if you want. So I said, okay, I can do Bhakti Shastri. So, what's next? Oh, okay, I need a place to stay. So I went to the temple and I prayed to Krishna, please help me to stay. Then I met Yagyamurti Prabhu, who now lives in Mayapur. And he came to me and said, oh, you're from Brazil, no? look, I'm going to London for a few months, and I have a house here, I need someone to stay in my house because I have some bees and someone has to take care of the bees. And then he taught me how to take care of the bees, no, the honeybees, and I stayed there for free. Then I said, okay, now I need some place to eat, no? And then, food for life, Vrindavan. They had food for life twice a day, kitchen in the morning and in the evening. And until now, I love khichdi so much because I ate khichdi for a few years, no? Basically, it was my main meal twice a day. And so, but the point was that, yes, Krishna tests us, and if we are sincere, then Krishna gives us all facilities. Krishna actually gives all facilities. He provides the material needs, the proper guidance, everything that we need, Krishna gives, but he also tests the determination, the sincerity. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu, for the insights. Any other questions or questions or points? Then, okay, so thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai.